Our text tonight is found in 2 Samuel, chapter 22. The text that we're reading tonight is also found in the collection of Psalms, Psalm 18. With just some minor differences. First Samuel chapter 22. Children, here are your questions for tonight. First, who did David call upon when he was in trouble? Two, what happened when David did that? Three, who came to deliver us from our enemies of sin, death, and the devil? For is it good for us to always remember what God has done, is doing, and will do for us? And five, what is your favorite song that reminds you of God's work in your life? Hear the word of God, 2 Samuel chapter 22. David sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and my savior. From violent men you save me. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. The waves of death swirled about me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I called out to my God. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came to his ears. The earth trembled and quaked. The foundations of the heavens shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his canopy around him, the dark rain clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness of his presence, bolts of lightning blazed forth. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot arrows and scattered the enemies, bolts of lightning and routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed and the foundations of the earth laid bare at the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of his breath, the breath of his nostrils. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not done evil by turning from God. All his ways are before me. I have not turned away from his decrees. I have been blameless before him and have kept myself from sin. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his sight. To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. To the blameless, you show yourself blameless. To the pure, you show yourself pure. But to the crooked, you show yourself shrewd. You save the humble, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them low. You are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord turns my darkness into light. With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord, and who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You give me your shield of victory. You stoop down to make me great. You broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles do not turn. I pursued my enemies and crushed them. I did not turn back till they were destroyed. I crushed them completely and they could not rise. They fell beneath my feet. You armed me with strength for battle. You made my adversaries bow at my feet. You made my enemies turn their backs in flight, and I destroyed my foes. They cried for help, but there was no one to save them. To the Lord, but he did not answer. I beat them as fine as the dust of the earth. I pounded and trampled them like mud in the streets. You have delivered me from the attacks of my people. You have preserved me as the head of nations. People I did not know are subject to me, and foreigners come cringing to me. As soon as they hear me, they obey me. They all lose heart. They come trembling from their strongholds. The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be the rock of my salvation. He is the God who avenges me, who puts the nations under me, who sets me free from my enemies. You exalted me above my foes. From violent men you rescued me. Therefore, I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing praises to your name. He gives his king great victories. He shows unfailing kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. Let us pray together. Lord, as we close out the reading of your word, we're struck by your might and your power. Lord, we know that you are David's great deliverer. We know that you are our deliverer as well. And as we come to this text tonight, we pray that you would give us insight into what you're telling us through this great psalm that you've recorded for our good. We humbly ask that you would speak to us tonight. May you give us ears to hear and hearts to receive. And we come to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, this is a song of reflection that David had recorded some time earlier in his life, probably after one of his great victories, but before his sin with Bathsheba. But it's a song of deliverance, a song of reflection that he would look back on, certainly for the rest of his life. And the one who put together the book of Samuel puts it here at the end of his life as sort of a reflection on the way that God had delivered him and made him a victorious king. He's a king who recognizes that his victory and his deliverance was all the hand of the Lord. Now, this is a long text. It's a long psalm. And so I don't intend tonight to lay out the whole psalm for us. Perhaps at another time I'll preach Psalm 18 and spend a number of weeks on it. But tonight I want to somewhat reduce, you might say, the size. And so we can go home with something valuable, I trust, tonight. Break it up into three parts. First of all, reflecting on it from David's life, and then seeing how it applies to the work of Christ, and then see if it doesn't tell us something about our own life's testimony as well. Hopefully we'll draw some comfort from the fact that our great and awesome God is the one who has delivered us and the one who cares for us, the same way that David was able to delight in that. First of all, it's a song of David. And again, it's between victories when things are going well, probably in a time of peace, but he looks back in his time of trouble and he realizes that his life was filled with trouble. He lays out for us a whole collection of fearful dangers in his life. He faced so many, especially in his position as king, and particularly from Saul himself. He had some very real enemies. You remember how he faced Goliath. You remember how he faced the Philistines on many occasions. But how his main nemesis was the unrighteous King Saul. Later in his life, he'd be able to look back and see that he could include in this psalm one of his enemies being his own son Absalom. Constantly at his heels, constantly trying to destroy him. And so these are based on very real enemies that he had that were very real threats. But in a poetic way, he puts it in beautiful and strong and yet disturbing language. Look at the way he describes the danger that he was in. The waves of death swirled about me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. David understands that he was in great danger all the time, that his life was constantly on the line. And yet God had delivered him a number of times. And so the flip side of all that poetic description of his danger is a glorious poetic picture of the person of God, his mighty deliverance. He is the God of refuge. The first rock here in our psalm is a rock, the cleft of a rock, a place where he could hide, where David literally had to do that many times when he had to flee into the wilderness. God was his shield of protection. That's somewhat self-explanatory. He was his horn of salvation, that idea of a mighty bull or a mighty ox, that symbol of power. David saw his God as that power and might that would deliver him. It was his God as his stronghold. The second rock in our text is a rock of foundation. It's a different word, but that solid rock upon which David could stand and not be shaken. And so you have these beautiful descriptions of this great and mighty God that he put his trust in. And then his description of the way that God worked, you might say, in the background. He worked out these things on earth, but in the heavens there was this great turmoil as the earth trembled and quaked. You see, there was no literal instance of that in David's life, but the earth quaked and the foundations of heaven shook. You see, David has a heavenly picture of God's anger with smoke blowing out of his nostrils because his anointed one, the one he loves, is in danger. So you see how David's awesome God is responding forcefully to David's trouble in order to deliver him from all of his trouble. What may be particularly striking for us tonight is verse 17 and 18. Because we get a picture of David in this swirl of trouble with his enemies all around him and all this turmoil and all this conflict. And it's as if he's going down into this abyss, into this whirlwind, into this whirlpool of trouble, you might say. And he's going down. But in verse 17, he reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemies, from my foes who were too strong for me. His God reached down and took him out of the danger and trouble that he was in and put him in a safe place and gave him great freedoms because he belonged to the Lord. And we might think when we read this psalm at first that the Lord did this because David was a righteous one. But the real sense of the meaning of that whole section there about his righteousness and the cleanness of his hands really indicates the fact that God has shown him favor, and now he has a heart for God, and God does protect and care for those who love and serve him. This is the mighty hand of God to his helpless servant David. And he draws him out of that whirlpool of trouble, sucking him in, puts him in a safe place on the rock, where he now has freedom. He goes on to say he prepared him for battle. Now he could face his foes. And because of what God had done, now looking back on the whole history of David's reign, he could look back now and say, after all, even with my sinfulness, my kingdom was successful. Not perfect, not everlasting, but successful because God was faithful to his anointed king. Well, this psalm is a great example of how David's statements about himself often point to the ultimates in Christ. The eternal kingdom of God, the eternal powers of God, the heavenly powers of God, the perfect righteousness of Christ. All those things that David could only touch on a little bit in his life and his experience point to perfections in Christ. So I think we can fairly say that in a sense, this song is Jesus, who came to face trouble not because he got himself into trouble, not because he was a sinner, but because he came to save we who were in trouble. He came here because of our trouble, to bear our sin, to face our enemies, who are his enemies as well. Face the devil himself. You notice in the psalm that David has many enemies, even enemies among his own people. But remember from what we've learned in 1 and 2 Samuel, there are types of the enemy of enemies. And I think that Goliath, for instance, was a type of the devil who would stand for all that was wicked and evil and come against the anointed of God. Or even Saul, who would come against the true anointed of God and trying to undo the kingdom that God is establishing. So Jesus came against the devil himself, who constantly striking at Jesus' heel. And in that great, epic, cosmic, eternal battle, Jesus the King is crushing the devil's head. And then there's that great conflict that escalates and climaxes finally at the cross, doesn't it? Where it seems like all the forces of evil are against Christ. The conflict is intense. The spiritual warfare is intense. But if we look at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ in history and where it was, it seems so very insignificant. Many, many people were crucified. The world was just as big then as it is now, and it's just one little place, one tiny little place in the Middle East. And so, to the human eye, when everything was said and done from a human historical standpoint, a godless, secular standpoint, looking at the cross, it was an insignificant blip. But we understand a lot more. We understand that that was the central focus of the eternal warfare. And so when we look at this conflict at the cross, we can envision behind it this great tumult, this great disturbance, God being angry at this warfare and coming against all the powers of evil and coming against sin and coming against the devil and coming against death. And at the very same time, all that wrath unleashed from God himself also pouring out upon Jesus Christ himself. And you start to get a much bigger picture of what was really going on in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the spiritual reality behind it, and understanding that the impact of that little incident, a blip in history to the unbelieving eye, is the most significant thing that's ever happened in the history of mankind and has eternal implications. The result is the victory of Jesus Christ in our deliverance. He's our victorious deliverer. And you might say that he had to go into the very heart of the conflict, that chasm of turmoil, that whirlpool of trouble. And yet for our sakes, for that moment, he was not snatched out, but underwent death for our sakes, even death on a cross. But death couldn't hold him. He does die, but it couldn't consume him. And he raises himself up from the grave in victory, because he is the ultimate righteous one. He alone could raise himself up. And he alone is the one who is worthy to conquer death, but he does it for our sakes. And he's vindicated as the righteous one in his resurrection. And he's affirmed as the eternal king who now reigns and rules over us in victory. And so in Christ, we can sing this psalm. In Christ, we can say that he is our deliverer. Our experience certainly is not going to parallel David's. We can literally sing this song. But we all have our own song, you might say. We might prefer to call it a testimony. Some of us are not poets and we're not singers. But we have a song of salvation, a song of deliverance. And if you're in Christ, you have one. And every single person in Christ has a wonderful song of deliverance. I have been delivered from my trouble. But we tend, I think, especially in our circles, to understand, maybe even undervalue our salvation. And so we understate just how magnificent and glorious and mighty is the salvation that was won for us. Each of us has a story of deliverance. We might have many earthly stories of deliverance. Some of you might have had your physical lives spared. But you know, so have many other people, many unbelievers. And if they knew God, they would be able to say, like we say, when we're spared from some physical affliction or physical death, the Lord delivered me. But they don't know Him, but you do. And so you look back on your life, maybe like I do, and I can think of many distinct times when I was literally saved from death or saved from very severe damage. Some very serious physical harm, almost dying twice. Maybe not in a dramatic way, as some of you may have experienced. But boy, I felt the cords of literal death at least tugging at me more than once. Sometimes by things that just happened, at least in my mind. Sometimes as a result of my own idiocy and foolishness. But the Lord preserved me, and I give Him praise for that. And you do too if you've been spared your physical life. But I know, and you know, that being spared momentarily in this physical life pales in comparison to the fact that our souls have been spared by the mercy of God from eternal death. And so when we sing our song of deliverance, it's far more awesome than our eyes can see in this physical life of the things we're spared from here. But we have souls that will never die that have been spared eternal death. And so our praise should be as big as our salvation. Don't understate what God has done for you. You know, we hear testimonies of people who were plunged maybe into serious lives of gross depravity or steeped in some horrid cult or strange religion. And we say, that's a powerful testimony of God's grace. And indeed it is. But do you think that there's anything less glorious about a child raised in the church who knows the salvation of God? Perhaps we underestimate and understate the power of God's salvation because we haven't understood what a dreadful, frightening, horrid condition we were in by nature. Can't get much worse than death. Spiritual death. That's what the Bible tells us. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. But through Christ Jesus, we've been given life. That's an awesome, awesome thing. Don't diminish the greatness of your salvation. And know in Christ that you have been set free, given that freedom, put in an open space, you're prepared for battle, and that you will be taken to glory in that final victory, not as the reigning king, but as one under the reigning king. And so you can say, He is my rock, He is my deliverer, rock of ages cleft for me. Be thou my battle shield, sword for my fight. Be thou my dignity, thou my delight. Thou my soul's shelter, thou my high tower. Raise thou me heavenward, O power of my power. Those are songs that we can sing in Christ. He is my stronghold, a mighty fortress. It's my God. On Christ the solid rock I stand. Those are our songs of deliverance. But you can put in your own words because you know what you've experienced if you've been delivered in Christ. You can say, if you're in Christ, no matter what condition you were in when the Lord saved you, He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. Can you sing that song? Well, we're not through with our earthly dangers yet. Newton wrote, "Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come." He's very much aware that grace brought him so far and that grace would bring him home. Some of you may not be able to relate too much to dangers, toils, and snares. The battle's not over yet, and we'll face many probably in this life. Not to be morbid, but something will finally consume us in His time. But we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid. Eternity is before us, won by our Savior, and it puts to rest all of our fears, even the fear of death itself, because it's been swallowed up in victory. No fear of the second death. Swallowed up in victory. And when we step into that eternity, I think part of our everlasting song will certainly be ongoing songs of deliverance. But listen to what John hears the multitudes singing. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And listen to what John hears the angels and the elders and the living creatures who are on their faces worshiping before the throne of God saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." What a glorious thing the salvation we have is. May our praise rise to its glory. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we really have no idea the fullness of the depths and the riches of what you've done for us. But we do want to know more about it, even as Paul had prayed for the church, that they would know more of the fullness, the depth and the width and the height and the length. Lord, we want to know more about the greatness of our salvation. Perhaps we need to know more about what our condition would be without you. But Lord, our eyes are on Christ, the victorious one. And so, Lord, may our praises be great because our salvation is great. And even more so because our Savior is great. May we each, as we reflect on our lives to this day, sing you songs of deliverance, knowing that you have been with us. May we sing songs of your presence because you are with us. And may we sing songs of eternity because we know that you will always be with us from this time forth and forevermore. And we come to you in the glorious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.